And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
Been a lot of stuff going on the last month or so. I think the last time I was here, I was talking about my Uncle George being ill. This is my 95-year-old uncle. Now I have to laugh because I mean, nobody would have guessed that he would have gotten to 95. It's still amazing. Unfortunately, he had some complications due to his, I think, is it COPD, CPOD? I never get it right, but he had asbestos exposure when he was in the Navy, and he died. He passed away, I think it was Tuesday or two Tuesdays ago. Very sad, very sad. I got to see him the last day, though. I had been sick, you know how I get my spats of sickness. My stomach, cyclical vomiting, the amazing vomiting Midwood. So I got sick before, and then as a result of being sick, I was off my meds, which is a whole different thing because you get those withdrawal symptoms from your psych meds in addition to your symptoms of your illness. So it's great. It's wonderful stuff. So I'd gotten ill, and I'd gotten better, and then I started to take my pills again, you know, to get ramped back up to my meds. And I wound up falling down and collapsing in my driveway. So I sprained my ankle pretty bad, and I got pretty bad scrapes on my knee and the top of my foot. Looks like somebody shot me. And let me tell you, if someone was going to shoot me, it wouldn't be on the top of my goddamn foot. At least I hope not. So I was out of commission. I was not doing well at all, and you know. So my aunt Jerry was still going up to see my uncle on a regular basis, and her older sister had joined us from Wisconsin, and she was staying in George's apartment because George wasn't in George's apartment; he was in a nursing home. So I was banged up pretty bad, and I kept trying to stay off of it so I could get better because that's the only way these things heal, and. I got a text from the third floor tenant on in George's house, who I'm friends with, very friendly with, actually, good guy. He had gone up on Monday, and it was a text, and he says he really doesn't look so good, and you should get up here. I went on Tuesday, even limping with the cane. I went with a cane and limping, and I tucked the camera along, and I got some pictures. He wasn't doing that great. He couldn't speak very well. Because of the nebulizer. They were giving him nebulizer treatments, and it was really screwing him up. So they had him in speech therapy. They shouldn't have had him in any sort of, I guess we'll talk about this a little bit later, but the bottom line is that me and my Aunt Jerry and her sister, my other Aunt Margaret, were able to go up on Tuesday, which I think was the 28th of July. Let me make sure that's right. I'm just curious for the top of my head because you're going to start remembering it that way otherwise. Back one. Tuesday. Yes. No, the 26th. Was the 26th. Okay. So we went up and he wasn't talking too well, but he was eating. We were trying to get him to eat and he was eating a bit. He seemed to be fully, you know, cognizant to me. I know there had been reports from other people who had gone up to see him that he hadn't remembered them. But I think I might have been in his short-term memory because the big, tall doofus with the camera, you know. So, I got some pictures, and I'm glad I did. We also arranged for his granddaughter in Germany to be able to speak with him via WhatsApp on my phone, and he was able to wave to his great grandchildren as well. So we were there for a couple hours, and we left. You know, he was still kicking, as they say, when we left. Another close friend of the family had come up to see him that afternoon. And he reported that he was, you know, as well as can be expected, about the same shape we saw him in one way or another. And then I guess it was around 10 o'clock or so, maybe, we got a phone call that George had passed. I guess maybe, you know, you look at things selfishly, and I guess for me, because my life is so small, and I do recognize that. I live in my own bubble. I don't make any qualms about that. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It's just the way it is. He was a pretty good part of my bubble. So just being able to get up. Because I had to get up early in the morning to go see him. Because you know how it is with old people. You know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like midnight to them. So you got to get in there. So we always try to get in there around noon. You know, noontime. And he'd be happy to see us. He'd be glad to see us. He'd be more happy to see that Rich, that other friend of the family, oddly enough. But, you know, Rich is cool people. So I went, you know, and I had to get up early in the morning, which I never do for anything unless I really honestly have to, because I hate getting up early. So I should get up early to see Uncle George. I mean, anybody who's listening to the show, certainly my regulars, as if there's someone new listening, they know. They know, you know, what an important part of my life George was. I was, you know, I'm grateful that my mom died first. I'm not grateful that my mom died. I'm grateful that she died first, because it would have been complicated to go over there and see him if my mother was still around. It's just the way it is. I got 3 years. I got 3 years going to see him about every other week, a little bit more if we had to go pick him up from somewhere. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that time. And it's really interesting about George. I think I have his obit. It's very small because his son is a moron asshole, alcoholic, both. Three times. He's a three-time loser, I tell you. Three times. Three fucking times. Go back to Germany. Hope you fucking choke on it, bastard. So anyway. His son is not, he's not worthy of the legacy. Not worthy in the least bit of George's legacy. Now, you gotta, you know, George's wife had died about 11 years ago, so he was, you know, he was on his own for a while. It'll be my Auntie Margaret, who was very sweet. She's a very sweet lady. But the thing about George, you know, I've talked about my family to some degree, certainly the situation with my parents and the divorce. I know I did one of those shows a long time ago. It's in the archives. I don't plan on rehashing. But I can tell you that George was one of the people, George and my Aunt Margaret, one of the people that sided with my mother in regards to anything, quite frankly. And there was an ongoing family feud for probably up until my mom died, quite frankly, 3 years ago. So there were people on various sides that, you know, either dealt with each other or didn't deal with each other or supported each other. It's a very complicated situation. Like I said, maybe one day I'll get into it, but I don't want to overshadow talking about my great Uncle George. And when I say great as in he married into the family, you know, he married my Auntie Margaret, like I said, and my Auntie Margaret was a twin of my grandmother. Okay? So, which was really kind of weird for a long time until Auntie Margaret got some dental work and she looks slightly different. But if before she got the dental work, they were pretty much indistinguishable, you know, which for a toddler is fucking crazy. Gotta say. George wound up on the other side of the fence. Now, I would still go and see them to some degree, but I would only do that when I was with my mom. And then as I got older, I got tired of all the horseshit. So I just left and I didn't deal with anybody. I think I've made that clear over the years. I got some Gatorade here. Yeah, I've been living on Gatorade. If I was drinking a 20-ounce bottle, I could hold down an ounce, and the rest of it would come back up. So there you go. I am eating. I had a McDonald's cheeseburger, a small one, you know, regular one yesterday. I had some pink berry, which I'd never had before. And one of those refresher things, dragon fruit refresher things from Starbucks. I don't frequent Starbucks often. I really don't know why. It's just annoying. At this point in time, I'm done with boycotts of any sort. I'm just tired. Just leave me alone. Fuck off. So George was a bastard. I mean, I got to be honest. He was pretty much a bastard when I was growing up. He was mean. And then while I was gone, or actually while I was here, because I came back to Rhode Island 12 years ago. I'm here 12 years. Longest I live anywhere. Same thing with the producer. Longest we've lived anywhere. Same location. Not even in the state, but the same friggin' location. But I came back, and my mom was still relatively active in the area, as they say. So I tried to avoid her as best I can. You know, I just didn't want to deal with her. And, you know, it's one of those addition by subtraction things. I do wish, because she was sick, and she was sick for a while, and she didn't do anything about it. And then by the time that anybody in the family knew about it, she was on the way out. That was just it. I had hoped that I had a little bit more time. I know I did the mother shows. I did my mom shows. I think I did two or three of them, back in 2019, the fall of 2019, fall winter of 2019 when she passed. I believe I had done one show. I had literally just come back from New York dropping my sister off. I came back into the area and I opted not to see, George or his, or my mother or her, you know, anybody who aligned with her, I guess that's the best word, aligned. So I didn't see them. I made a point. I'm not seeing them. I saw Mark once, that's the son. I don't know, a while back he came in for something and, we sat down, and I could tell right away he had turned into an asshole. He wasn't. I don't know what, you know, my family, what's left of my family, we sit around, and we're like, what the fuck could happen to this guy? He's really an alcoholic. It's no joke. Maybe it's just all the alcohol. Maybe it's just the booze. I don't know. There's theories that there's underlying mental illness involved. I'm not one of those armchair quarterbacks. I'm not going to make that call. I used the term alcoholic because I see him drink a lot, and he's professed. He has said, I'm an alcoholic. I have to go into rehab at some point. So, but apparently something always comes up that prevents him from going into rehab, you know. And it's the classic symptoms of being an alcoholic, indecision, habitual lying. He's pretty much turned into categorical liar, I guess. My mom was too, so. And my dad, to a certain degree, now that I think about it. But anyway, he's in lousy shape. He's in the worst shape I've ever seen him in. He's not very big. He's short. He's like 5-something, 5'6". He just looks horrible. And there was, you know, it's like, okay. Like, the idea becomes is he's like, oh, he keeps saying that nobody's helping him. And it's like, you know, there are plenty of people standing here ready, and I had my ankle, so I had to wait, and he knew that. So, you know, let's help you. You know, what do you want? And it's like, he doesn't want to do things with you. He wants you to do things for you, for him. And I'd be perfectly honest with you, and I knew this from the outset. I don't owe this guy shit. I owe him nothing. Not even the memory of George. I that's a thing between me, my God, and George. So I don't owe him nothing. So it's like, even for me to say that I would be willing to do something, it would be a favor, because not for nothing, I don't owe him anything, nothing. So what wound up happening is things kind of, you know, we were like, his daughter's attitude was just stay calm and don't fight with him and he'll fly away, which is true, because as soon as he gets all his financials straight, meaning the trust in the house that has been left to him, he's going to go away. And with any hope, he'll never come back. And like I said, I hope he chokes on it. I hope he chokes on every single dollar, every single one of them. So it was getting a little tense because of all the of him being him and everybody else. And this is universal. This is almost universal. This is not just my opinion. I know there are times where you're like, this is just my opinion. And, you know, there's probably another side to the story. No, this guy is a certified fucking fruitcake. Seriously. People asking me because I'm mentally ill. They're like, what do you think? You think he's bipolar? And I'm like, look, I don't even know. I don't know. I don't know. Ask somebody else. So, what's going on here? Yeah, okay. So, the service, the funeral, the wake was Friday. And in order to get through the wake, I had I got a cartridge of hemp oil, you know, the weed cartridges. And I had the thing in my pocket. And I pulled on that, went outside and pulled on it because it's very discreet. And I was, you know, I was really pretty much levelly stoned enough so that I wasn't sloppy stoned, but enough where I could kind of take the edge off of everything that was going on around me, right? I was still, you know, I was not for nothing because it just wasn't organized that way. You know, when at funerals, I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral. I don't know if you've ever been a family member of a funeral. The idea is you line up in seats, and when the mourners come in, you know, to visit, to pay their respects, they go down the line and they say, oh, no, sorry. Mark didn't organize it that way because he's a moron. And so there were people sitting all over the place. So when the new people came in just to give condolences, they were, like, confused. They didn't know where to, you know, because he's a moron. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's one of the, you know, and he never used to be stupid. So I don't know. It's got to be the booze. It's honestly got to be the booze. I mean, I guess, whatever. But so I smoked until, the funeral, or the wake was Friday. The funeral was Saturday. You know, services at the church. Actually, a little, he was a member of the Knights Columbus, proudly so. And, you know, interesting, I hadn't really realized this. When George married into the family, he was Orthodox. And then he converted to Catholicism, which is really, really kind of interesting. I got to remember things because I'm trying. He didn't even speak English until he was like 12. Yeah, because he was sponsored. His family was from, was he a Czech? I think he might have been Czech. In that Czech Republic, Hungarian region type thing. He didn't speak English until he was taught. I know I'm repeating myself. I don't have this written down because I'm doing this strictly from memory. 3 years of being told. He was sponsored. His family was sponsored to come over by one of the churches, and the church had a school. So he went to the school, and they spoke Czech there because it was that. That's what the congregation was. What wound up happening is he hurt himself and he wound up going into the hospital, and the nurses there wouldn't give him stuff unless he, and they spoke Czech too, wouldn't give him stuff unless he spoke English. So they forced him to learn English, which is really kind of interesting. And, you know, another really interesting thing about this is that his mother and his father had like 10 kids, and then his father passed away and his mother remarried a man who also had like 10 kids, 10, 12 kids. So he had like 20, you know, he had 10 brothers and sisters and 10 half brothers and sisters. So, I mean, it's tremendous. My understanding is he outlived them all. He outlived them all. I can say, you know, I was up, you know, as Gene and I walked into the funeral home from the rear, from the parking lot, Mark motioned us over to the front of the room where George was, meaning, you know, where he was lying in rest. And he starts having this conversation about, one, how's he look, what's going on, this, that, the other thing. And I really got up there and looked at it. I did it with my mom, too. I want some sort of record in my head. I got up there and I looked, and I tell you the truth, he looked like George from 2019. If you hadn't seen him in a while, I think his weight loss would have freaked you out because he was always a bit of a big man. He was a big man. He was. And he had lost weight slowly over the years. Like that happens when you're, you know, you get to that age anyway, you know. He looked, I don't know if I would use the word frail at the end, but yeah, he did look a bit frail. But they did a great job over there at the funeral home. We've been there. That's the family funeral home. That's got to be the fifth, sixth family funeral out of there. And I just, you know, an ironic thing about the funeral home on that particular Saturday or Friday, even for the wake, so the family arrives because, you know, it's family first. So we go in and whatnot, and it's pretty warm in that room. It's pretty honking. We can hear the air conditioner cycling, you know, you can hear the yank, 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 but it's not really throwing any, we're not that. And the ironic part, this is what the ironic part is, George always ran his apartment heat like in the 80s. It was always like fucking Miami Vice heat in there. Didn't matter whether it was summer, winter, fall, spring, whatever. So some of us have the inclination to believe that George might have messed with the heat, which would really be great. And it's a wonderful thought to have, because anybody who knows him would know that that would be funny, because it's true in regards to how he ran his thermostat. But he looked good. He honestly looked good, and I didn't think that Mark was going to do open casket, because he was a coward. As his father was dying, he ran away. He ran away back to Germany because, quote, "I can't handle my father dying." Well, no one's asking you to sit there and hold his hand for the actual moment of death. All we were asking is that you stayed here and talked to your father. When he did come, all we did was financial arrangements. Financial arrangements. At the end, and I'll be honest with you, the last couple of weeks, and I'm not making this up, when you mentioned Mark, George wouldn't say anything, but he'd get that microaggression look on his face. You know what I'm talking about? You know? So he was less than thrilled. Less than thrilled. You know? But Mark's a fucking coward. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? He still doesn't. At first he was selling the house. Now he doesn't know what he's selling the house. And it's, you know, it's a whole mess. At this point in time, at one point in time, I was kind of wishing he would keep the house, because it's just so it stays in the family, right? But now I'm hoping that he just sells it. It's over. It ended with George. You know, that era of my family ended with George. There's kids everywhere. There's kids being born. His great grandchildren in Germany. Both my cousin Katie and my sister have had babies within the last year or so. So there's new life. There's new life. This is how it intends. It doesn't end like this, but it does truly end an era. And I can tell you, when I came back, and I started thinking about, you know, dealing with the family, and then when my mom died, I went to the funeral, which actually shocked everyone that I would go to the funeral. Go figure, right? By then, my Auntie Margaret had died, and George had, I think I said, taken care of her through her. She was diabetic and a lot of other complicated stuff. It took her a long time to pass, and George was there with her every step, and he was taking care of her. And it was probably a transformative experience for me. I wasn't dealing with him then, so I can't say. But I can tell you a couple years later, when my mom died, we hadn't even got my mom's body back from Florida. I went to Thanksgiving dinner over there. Now, this is actually really funny. I told Jerry, my Aunt Jerry, to make sure he knows who the hell I am. You know what I'm saying? And she said, I talked to him, he knows. And I'm like, okay. And then when we got there and we were actually coming in the door, because it was a big thing for me, I turned to her and I go, you sure he knows who I am? And she goes, he told me he knows who you are. So I'm like, all right. So, Gina had cooked a major Thanksgiving feast, you know, the standard fare, as they say. She did a very good job on it, actually. I have a picture of that plate on just what that plate looked like on my Instagram, if anybody's interested. There are links for that off of lfmidwood.com if anybody wants to check out my Instagrammy. I don't put up much as I used to. I want to put up a picture from George's funeral. I had one from my mom's, both taken by the producer. Thank you very much. Yeah. So I only started to deal with him in 2019, which is going on, you know, almost a little bit around 3 years. Yeah, I guess it went to 3 years. And I was finished telling the story. So we go for Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm sitting there at the table right next to him, right? And he turns to me, and he goes, "Who are you?" And I look at Jerry, and I go, "I hate you." So so I tell him, I'm Lee. I'm Gail and Alan's son. And he's like, "Oh." And he looks at me, he turns and looks at me dead in the eye, and he says, "Anybody is welcome in my home as long as they don't disrespect me." I was like, "That's fine. I can abide by that, sir." And we were friends since then. We refriended. Maybe that's the term. We refriended at that point. And from him seeing me so frequently, I got to be, you know, a normal, he knew me, you know what I mean? Oh, it's you. And I'd come over and we did the crossword puzzles together. He used to like to do those code breaker thingies, which are like really hard. Those encrypted thingamajiggles. Yeah, he was real good at stuff like that. You know, we'd just sit around and maybe there'd be a ball game on and we'd be half watching it, talking to each other. I mean, we spent time on that porch of the house in Bristol, the ancestral family home, which I liked. I liked sitting up on the porch with them and we watched the cars go by and, you know, as such, watch the flag wave, the nice American flag waving off the house, watch the flag wave, you know. Just stuff like that, just basic, you know, whatever. That's why I say I'm really going to miss him. I already did, you know. Surprisingly enough, as numb as I made myself at the funeral home and through the church service and thing, I actually cried at the funeral home. I did break down a bit because I kind of hadn't been thinking about it until then. You know, and then for some reason, right, it's not as if the deceased person was in the casket and we were sitting in the seats closest to it. So it's not like I would, you know, but for some reason it didn't, because there was so much drama with Mark running away and then having to come back to make the funeral arrangements. Yeah, which... you know, he was just mad that nobody fucking holds his hand and strokes his dick. He's just, that's basically what it comes down to. You know, and this guy, out of all the people in the family, this guy had the best childhood. He had the most parental support. I mean, seriously, I would have killed to have this fucking asshole's life. And even to have his parents. His mom was a little overprotective. But Auntie Margaret had a series of miscarriages. And when I say series, I mean like four. I think she had two. They managed to carry Mark, and then two more. So, yeah, you know, he was practically a miracle baby, and they supported him in his endeavors. He was a drummer. They got him drum sets. They did all sorts of shit. And when he comes home the first time, he's got nothing but derogatory things to say about his father. Oh, he was an idiot. He does this, and he did that, and that was stupid. Why did he do this? And this is why he's buzzing around the room like a hummingbird. There's something wrong with this dude, I'm telling you. And I don't know whether you know this about LF Midwood, but I don't like when people fucking lurk around me. It bugs me. Lurk, linger, just get out of here. I'll punch you in the fucking face. Bah! Like that. Gatorade. What flavor Gatorade am I drinking? Cool Blue. I was taking a lot of orange because it's my favorite, but maybe the citrus was water than mine. I got to remember that next time if I get sick. I'll talk about the sick in a little while. So that's that. So now it's Sunday after. Remember, Saturday was the actual graveside service. So it's the Sunday after, and we're all over at George's house again because Margaret's daughter, Katie, and her husband Tim and their baby Layla are coming. Little baby, she's cute as button, are coming to see us. And the reason she didn't go to the funeral is because Tim's brother had died a week previous, and they were at one funeral that week already. So they opted to come in after at the funeral on Sunday, and because everybody was still kind of lingering in Rhode Island anyway, everybody was there or going to be there, you know. So I got up. I still had some a little bit of weed with me because of fucking smoking weed, dude. So I smoke and, you know, get there. And I'm hanging out and, you know, fucking Mark's crying. He's in the house crying. He goes, "Oh, You know, and there's a friend of his called Octavio that apparently he takes a lot of his advice from. This guy doesn't seem to be very fucking bright. Yeah, he definitely doesn't seem to, you know, be cognitive, for a better word. But, you know, hey, whatever. Not my problem. But not my circus, not my monkeys, right? As Gina says. So what wound up happening is, you know, Mark was crying about what could I have done? And now, you know, the two sisters, Jerry and Margaret, are in the apartment, in George's apartment. So it's me, Mark, Jerry, and Margaret. Now, the both of them know he's Stark Raven crazy. I mean, you know, they don't. It's a fact. We've been dealing with them. We've dealt with them for like 10 days, almost 2 weeks, and now he's back again, you know. So he's crying, and he goes, oh, Octavio said I did everything I could have done. And I break in, and I say, you did everything except be here for when he died. Silence. Drop mic. Walk out of the room. Go back outside, smoke weed. That's exactly what I did. It was the weed wisdom. The weed made me do it. So he was none too thrilled with that. So a little time goes by, and he comes outside. And I'm still sitting at the table, and it's me, it's Gina, it's Brendan, the third floor neighbor, who's the EMT, good friend of mine, as I said. I forget else if anybody else was there at that time. He says he's going through the "oh, nobody helps me" thing again. So, you know, and he looks at me and he goes, well, your ankle's bad, so I get it. So I go, yeah, but I, you know, if you want help, I can help you go through stuff in the house or whatever. And he goes, okay, but tomorrow, you know, because he's going to put me to work at something and then walk away and go drink. That's, you know, what he's going to do. He's not going to be involved. So, all right. I was like fine with that. I was like, you know what? But let me throw a little in. You know, everybody else is helping out a little bit. You know, I didn't feel I owed him anything. The only person I owed anything to was George. That was my the way I was carrying it. And not for nothing, I'm not the only person who felt that way. So he sits down about 20 minutes later, and he starts yammering about Octavio said that Gina and I aren't good people, and I got the record. And I'm like, first of all, this guy apparently has no fucking filter, which I think is also common of alcoholics, if I'm not wrong. You know, and he's basically saying derogatory things about me and my girlfriend. And I'm like, even through my medication and even through my fucking weed being really stoned, I'm like, what the fuck did you say? And then he talks about throwing me off the property, or he could throw me off the property if he wants to, because he noticed I was getting really fucking angry. So I said, oh, yeah? Go ahead. Go ahead. And I kept getting closer and closer in and to him, like from like 2 feet away. And quite frankly, what happened next was Gina grabbed me. She got the keys from Jerry. She dragged me over to the car, and we left. And if we hadn't, I would have gone to jail that night. 100% sure. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not afraid of going to jail. Been there, done that. There's nothing that Bristol can throw at me that the federal government hasn't. Amen. Amen, I say. So I won't be seeing him again. I have to wait for him to leave before I can go over there and see Brendan, which kind of sucks. But that's fine. That's fine. For another reason, you know. What happened, that was Sunday. And the next day, I stopped smoking because I ran out of stuff to smoke, right? And I started to get sick again. I mean, you know, my violent, regular two-step sick. I was sick for about a week. I guess today's the real first day that I had that cheeseburger yesterday. But I woke up at 4 o'clock today, and I was actually hungry, which hadn't happened in quite a long time. You know, you don't eat 5-6 days. Things start to get kind of weird. And so I had some pork lo mein with some pork fried rice. I want to get as much carbs in there as I could. And I'm also back on my meds, which is a process because I do feel wonky. I do feel weird. But that's only because I'm back on them again and I'm just getting started up. Now, talk about my illness for a moment. My illness, it's possible, we don't know for sure, that my illness may be directly related to cannabis and THC. I think it's CHS, cannabis hypomesis syndrome. I think I got that right. is obviously it's close to my symptoms when people smoke marijuana. But I don't line up with the symptoms, you know, one by one. It's not an overlay, as they say. But there's reason to believe that it's the cannabis that's causing the problem. So I need to stop smoking the cannabis for about a month, maybe a little bit more, and see if my symptoms in return or what the story may be. I'm thinking that it could be the cannabis could be kicking a can down the road, meaning there's already something there. My GP, my general practitioner, doesn't think I have that syndrome either. But I don't know right now. I don't know. And the only way I'm going to find out is if I stop smoking weed. So I could do that. I could use a tolerance break. I could use a financial break. I spent way too much money on weed the last couple of months. And that's the God honest truth. But I enjoy it. You know, it's like a quality of life thing for me. So, you know, the producer doesn't mind, which is good. She doesn't smoke either. So mine. no, but she's really cool about the whole thing. Hang on, Gatorade. I do like this stuff. So yeah, I don't know. It's difficult to say. I want to eliminate it. That's all I'm saying. I want to eliminate it because I recall getting sick prior to my starting to smoke weed again. Because I took a big break for years. I didn't smoke weed. Well, I was waiting for it to become legalized in Massachusetts for years. That ballot got passed on by ballot the night that the 45 was elected. Yeah. So I was real happy because I voted on immigration and cannabis reform. And I got both. I got both. I haven't really read any news at all, so I'm not doing any news at all. This is strictly just, get reacquainted. I seem to have my technical woes worked out. I hadn't touched the board between being sick, between being stoned, and between just not having my head in the right place. I obviously haven't been around very much. The first part of the summer was a fucking disaster. A disaster, which I can live with, you know. You know, if I were ever going to go away for an extended period of time, I would have put something up on the site. I think we put something up every week explaining why I wasn't there. I've missed counseling sessions. I have not missed any doctor's appointments because I get freaky when I do that. I don't like it. So I'm looking to get back into some sort of groove, get my groove back. Yeah, it's well, you know, Jerry told me right in my aunt Jerry's, he's like, oh, Mark told me to tell you that he's sorry, but I know that's not going to be enough. I'm like, what are you, fucking crazy? Are you out of your mind? He is. He's fucking, I guess the booze does that to you. I don't know. I've gone through serious periods of heavy drinking in my younger life. In an earlier incarnation, I was a drinking bastard. I was crazy. I was, yeah. I've always found that I preferred cannabis to drinking. You know, just the way it is. I just, like I said, I know the drinking, now we don't know the long term with the weed, you know. My GP, I'm telling her, you know, obviously I'm honest with my meta people about cannabis because it's legal in Rhode Island and Massachusetts now. So I don't have to be like, oh, you know. So I tell them, you know, I smoke cannabis, you know. My GP wants me, if I'm going to use cannabis, right, she wants me to use edibles. Because she doesn't want me vaping because of the health risks, and she doesn't want me smoking. Well, that ain't going to happen. But anyway, my only experience with edibles was I got edible chewy gummy thingies once, right? And I was already so fucking stoned that I really didn't even notice a difference. It didn't increase my high at all. I have to try them while not high and see what happens. So I may revisit the edibles at some point in time. But like I said, if this stuff makes me sick, I could probably smoke a little bit every once in a while and be okay. It's as simple as that. I can't be the chronic everyday smoker or binge smoker that I've always been. Can't do it. I'm assuming. Unless I still have this issue after giving up the cannabis. Because then it would be like, well, what's that? I have a neurology thing I have to redo, an appointment with them. They want to you know, check me out, which is good because I might have some other neurological. to get checked out, but I have to call them back because they canceled the appointment. In early August, I'm in. I have to get back. They did the CT in my dome. I think I mentioned that. My head, nothing looks strange. All the strange stuff was hiding. Yeah, it was hiding behind the medulla. Manigula? Whatever it is. I absolutely love this fucking cool blue. My favorite. I think it's past orange. I kind of burnt out on orange. So that's, you know, basically what's going on here. It's a lot of, obviously, emotional stuff between a moron over there in Bristol and not eating and having these symptoms and, you know, throwing up every 15 seconds. Yeah, there's a lot. And the withdrawal from my meds. And there are withdrawal symptoms. There are side effects which happen while you're taking the meds. And then there are withdrawal symptoms that happen after you're off the meds. And I went cold turkey. Boom, because I couldn't hold it down. If I can't hold my pills down, how am I going to get my medication, right? And I couldn't go back to the hospital. This would have been the fifth time. I've been to the hospital 6 times in 6 months. I knew I wasn't going to die. I assumed. Although I've read reports of people dying of this syndrome because they become dehydrated from all the vomiting. They can't get liquids into their system. And they're not close enough to a hospital. So they can walk in and get treatment. When the treatment would generally be painkiller, IV bags, and probably some anti-nausea meds. That's it. That's what they would do. You know, like those. It's almost like those yellow banana bags that they use for drunks. Yeah, that's what it would have been. And I couldn't stand getting the lecture again. I got it once. And it was done in a very nice way. You know, it wasn't so much accusatory. Because it's legal now, so fuck you. But I was warned that I should give up the marijuana. It says marijuana in the thing. I wish it had said cannabis. Marijuana is a racist statement. I think it was the Narcotics Act of 1932, which made marijuana federally illegal. And it was aimed at the Mexicans, because marijuana is basically a Mexican word, is it not? Cannabis, you know, I like to use cannabis. So the government started calling it marijuana. To be derogatory. No, because back in 1932, you get away with shit like that. I think I got that story right. I'm not sure. But it's close. The first time I went in, they thought I had the flu, and it's like some sort of stomach virus, which is really funny. And then I went back the next day. I had to go back the fucking next day, people. 2 hospital visits in 2 days. Awesome. Yeah, and triage sucks. You know, it is what it is. I understand the system. If I had walked in there with a heart attack or something, that would have gone right to the head of the line. I don't have that. Or something that was surgery oriented. I would have gone right to the head of the line. I know that. What was wrong with me was kind of mediocre. So I had about an hour and a half wait in the ER, which wasn't too bad, quite frankly. Just people get upset because they don't understand. I guess they don't have triage in these third world countries. They don't understand the concept. So, goddamn monkeys. So, yeah. It's been rough. It's been hard. My thanks to people who have you know, been there for me. You know who you are, and you know, contacted me again. You know who you are. I don't know from now. You know, I don't. I have to get my personal life in order, which I can do. You know, I just need to kind of. I need to. Spiffy up. She vacuumed in here too, huh? Holy shit. I'm looking at the floor, studio floor. I'm like, oh my God, she vacuumed. Very nice. I forgot. That's why she's so tired. She goddamn vacuumed. So, I'm just trying to think of, you know, I did have, I don't know if I've ever really talked about this too much, but while I promised my, I went into like be honest mode, apparently. And my counselor, I told my counselor I was going to do this. My mom is over in the family plot, and her name hasn't been cut on the stone. So she's basically in an unmarked grave. Now, my sister was executor of the will, inheritor, whole nine yards. She got everything, which is fine. I have no complaints about that. People are like, aren't you mad? And I'm like, no, I surrendered any right to an inheritance when I walked out on everyone. I get that. It would be an unreasonable thing for me, quite frankly. I get that. So, you know, you got to be real about these things, right? I finally, at the table, I said to her, you know, I have something to tell you. And I don't want you to get upset because I don't want to affect our relationship because I'm happy where we're at. Inferring that I'm happy that we have a relationship as well, too. But, and then I go, but, and there's a wait, there's a little click. And then I said, Mom's name has to be cut into this stone. She's in an unmarked grave. And she was like, oh, didn't the military? No, nobody took care of it. It needs to be done. And I got an okay and a tacit. I have to do something about that. So now it's, and I did it at a table in front of everyone. So now it's like a thing, you know what I mean? And I didn't want to embarrass her per se, but I thought putting it out there with other people hearing it, you know, she'd be more inclined to do it. I understand issues. You know, she's blind. She's got a baby now. She's tons of stuff going on. I met her future husband, Garfield, Jamaican dude. Cool as fuck, man. Holy shit. I'd marry him if I could. Maybe not. Although that is legal. Go figure. Just a real nice guy. Real nice guy. And I know he seems to me that he's madly in love with her. And he's going to stick around. And that baby's going to have a dad. And my sister's going to have someone to spend her life with. I think that's awesome. That's 100% awesome. Now, I had mentioned I didn't get to see Katie and her husband and her baby on Saturday. But Jerry explained to them what the situation was. And they told Jerry that they'd come out and meet her and me they were leaving that day, go back to New Jersey, at Newport Creamery. So we sat, we had a meal, we talked. I wanted to talk to Tim about his brother because his brother had a lot of the similar problems that I've had over the years. When you talk about the idea of being troubled, I suppose. And it was hard, you know. It was good. I appreciated that he, when I walked into the car, I said, I appreciate that you opened up like that. You know, I understand it wasn't easy. And he turns to me and he goes, I appreciate that you understand. I really do. So it was nice. It was just one more reason to really, his name is Tim, another, a prince, honestly. Katie did so well with him. Oh my God, crazy. And in a lot of ways, sometimes he's a big kid, you know, the comic books and, you know, the Marvel stuff and talk about that and whatnot. And he cut his hair and he looks like 20 IQ points stronger. So I don't know what happened there. He used to have really long hair and I was like, I never really took, he was a nice guy, but I never really took him seriously. They gave him a haircut, and all of a sudden, there's, like, intellect in there. I don't know what happened. Blows my mind. What's that? Is that a cat scratching the door? My camera's still in here. Oh, look at that. Yeah, I barely made it up the stairs yesterday. I was dying. I was better, but I was still. If I think about yesterday being the best of it, you know, I was, so Monday through Friday, so it was 5 days, and now today's the sixth day, and I'm back to somewhat normal. Somewhat. Things are going to change, though. Like I said, I hope he sells that house. I hope I can't even think of any more derogatory words. I hope he sells the house and somebody else buys it. It's already fell through. There's already two sales that have fell through. I think he has unrealistic expectations is basically what it comes down to, you know. Because realtors will blow smoke up your ass and whatnot. So it is a three-family house. It's two big apartments and one slightly smaller apartment on the third floor. in Bristol, and anything in Bristol costs money. This has always been true. Closer you are to downtown, the more money it costs. It's Bristol. Look it up. That's all I can say. Look it up, dude. Yeah, it's prime. It's prime property. You know, Pleasant Valley Sunday kind of deal, only with water, you know, with bays and waters and docks and stuff. So, yeah, it's really nice. And that's what I think of when I think of Rhode Island. I think of two places. I think of my grandma's house in Warren, and I think of my Auntie Margaret's house in Bristol. And when my grandma died, that house got sold, which is good because it helped pay for her medical expenses at the end there. You know. And obviously, when Margaret died, George was still in their home. So, it's, you know, like I said, when I went back for that Thanksgiving dinner was hilarious. I looked at her like, I was so mad. You know why? Because if the guy didn't want me there, I didn't want to be there. And that was the inference I got from his fucking asshole son a couple few years either, you know? But I think with my mom dying, I think that kind of just set a whole different vibe, you know, for the whole thing, really. And I give George credit for letting me back into his life. You know, he obviously figured it out who I was and what my deal was. And I guess that's it. I mean, I don't know what else I can yammer about other than, like I said, I'm on the mend. My ankle's better, getting better. I think I still limp a little bit, but that's all right. You know, soft tissue stuff is like lasts forever. I still have one that when I went to a yard to retrieve my cat. Thank you, Spats. Over a fence, and I tripped. And I hurt my ankle, and that was my right ankle, and that one was up for a long time. I was supposed to go to the Newport Drag, not Newport, I was supposed to go to the, I can't remember, it's one of those New England cities where they have drag races, you know, the NH, whatever it is, drag races. I'd never gone, I'd never seen it, so I wanted to see it. Yeah. But my understanding from my Uncle Tim, not Katie's Tim, but our Tim, as I refer to him as, they started doing a car show again over by the carousel. That's going to mean even less to you. So, what's he talking about? So, we're going to go. We're going to try and get together and go. I think he gets weekends off these days. So, we're going to try and hook up and see what the thing is. I don't get out much. I think most of you know that. I smoke a lot, but I don't get out much. Well, I tell you one thing that I can say about all this is, other than having to deal with the son, who's a ginormous disappointment to pretty much everyone, including George apparently, and I don't lie about that. I'm not lying about any of this. Aside from having to deal with him and the frustration that he turned into anger, I'm not angry at God. I'm not mad at God. I have my own deity thing going on here, for lack of a better term. I'm not mad at them, her, it, whatever. I'm just not. I mean, it at 95 years old, he was literally starting to break down. And it was uncomfortable. He was definitely, I don't know if we could use the word pain, but he was definitely really uncomfortable, and it just started to come apart. It was not good. He gets to see my Auntie Margaret, you know, his wife of 50-something years. So there's that. And that's really what I'm trying to focus on, and pretty much successfully doing it. I'm just glad that I went up that day. I'm glad I went up that last day to see him. I wish I'd done video. I had only done stills. Yeah, you know, 95 is a long time, man. Long ass time. Well, that being said, I'm going to get out of here. Let me do my plug. My plugs. It's been a while. He's plugging. You know what? Let me read George's a bit. and then I'll get out of here. George Harrio bit. Okay, this was from the East Bay, Rhode Island. It's not painfully short, but you know. George F. Harry, 95, passed away in Middletown on Tuesday, July 26, 2022. He was husband of the late Margaret Garvin Harry. Born in Bridgeport, Connecticut, he was one of 12 children born to Michael and Mary Blenar Harry. After high school, George enlisted in the U.S. States Navy and proudly served in World War II and Korea aboard the SS Thysk and the SS Starvent. Upon returning to civilian life, George worked as a machinist at U.S. Rubber and Herschel Boating for many years. George was a communicant of St. Mary's Church in Bristol. A man of strong faith, he was a proud member of the Knights of Columbus. George loved to travel, especially to visit his son and family in Germany, and to attend reunions with his shipmates on the Fisk and the Starvent. George is survived by his son, Mark A. Harry Gordana of Germany, his granddaughter, Nina Benzel, author of Germany, his great-grandchildren, Anna and Alyssa Benzel, and many other extended family and dear friends. He is predeceased by his beloved Margaret, his parents, and his siblings. And it's just, it says when the services were, which are now defunct. It's short but sweet. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to put a man's life, any man for that matter's life, into a little box. That, because when they do the obits, they try to keep them as brief as possible for the publishing purposes. So they kind of, you know, like when we gave them my mom's obit, the funeral home, they edited, you know, to get it to the right format, for lack. I guess it's format. And there's a picture of him here. I can see. You can't, but he was a big man. He was a big man. He was. So anyway, I'm going to do my plugs. Head over to lfmidwood.com. Don't I always sound enthusiastic when I say that? lfmidwood.com for the Midwood Files. There's links. There's archives going back to the first show back, which was now going on 6 years, I guess. I'm not even sure, maybe seven. There's my social media, which I have not been paying attention to at all. And there's my my links, which generally I read these every couple of days. I don't used to read them every day, but every couple of days I read them. And I guess, oh, we go up to the top. And you got 11LRNI, that's the John Lightning site, the mothership, as it were. And if you head all the way to the right, you'll get Grits Radio. It's a good friend, Brad Reed, and his stream. And thanks, Brad, for running us on the stream. We appreciate it. There's a contact and an about up there if you can't get in contact with me, make some suggestions or death threats, whatever it is. You know what I mean? All that good stuff. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. It's been Ben. It's been real, as they say. And I thank you for tuning in.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. predictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.